الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading the brief treatise أسباب سعادة الأسرة, the means for family happiness, is authored by the great scholar Sheikh Suleiman Al-Ruhaili حفظه الله تعالى. In our previous class, we had discussed the first means to achieve happiness, and that is by way of true, sincere faith, belief in Allah and the last day, and belief in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his laws and legal ways, and to establish that in application in one's life. In this manner, a person, he will achieve happiness. Happiness is in the heart, and the hearts are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person, he truly hopes to have sincere and true happiness, then he must obey the one who has the authority and command over that affair. So again, true happiness, it lies in sincere faith. It lies in sincere faith coupled with righteous and good deeds. And this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have seen this in our previous class. Person, he'll never be happy truly except for by way of sincere faith and obedience to Allah in public and in private, and adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all circumstances and situations. And all circumstances and situations, and showing preference to the obedience of Allah over the call of the soul, and showing preference to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the call of the whims and the desires of the soul. And this is something that a person, he needs in his own life to be happy, and likewise for the family to be happy as well. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged the man, whenever he looks for a spouse, that he will look for a woman who is righteous, and that's not, and that she's known. He will look for a woman based upon her piety, based upon her religion, based upon her deen, based upon her obedience to Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well encouraged the woman to look for a man who's known for his piety and known for his religion. Known for his piety and known for his religion. If we pay attention here, barakallahu fikum, we will see that from the means of achieving happiness, from the means of achieving happiness in the family, one, he must begin even before he's married. One, he must begin even before he's married. So the issue was about looking for a wife and choosing one based upon her piety, and looking for a husband and choosing one based upon his piety and manners and conduct. His piety, manners, and conduct. So if one hopes to have a happy family, this will begin even before he gets married. Even before he gets married, by himself finding happiness and sincere faith and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and looking for a spouse that is on the same path, that is on the same path, that will aid him on that way, that will aid him on, and assist him upon the obedience of Allah azza wa jalla and the path to paradise and the pleasure of Allah. Along with this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise did not neglect the worldly aspect or the natural inclination of the human being, and encouraged a person to look at the spouse and to make sure that he's attracted to her, and that he can be comfortable with her and live alongside with her, yani in a good manner. So a person, he will not just completely neglect his personal preferences and the likes like this, but a person, he should not be too picky and make too many stipulations, because if that's the case, he'll never find what he's looking for, and he'll be waiting for a long time to get married. So no doubt a person, he has some personal preferences and likes like this with regards to what maybe the woman would look like, or her height, or her or the likes, or some other affairs, yani from the physical aspect. But the main point and the deciding factor in choosing the woman, and likewise in choosing the man, is based upon the religion and how well a person upholds that in public and in private, that they're known for that affair, and that they have good and noble conduct and manners, and that they have good and noble conduct and manners. So the people of knowledge, they have mentioned with regards to this, choosing a woman based upon her religion, or choosing a man based upon his religion and manners and conduct, that whenever they sit down and they're looking to get married, the first thing that one will ask about is her beauty, her deen. What's the first thing one should ask about? Manners. They said the deen. He said the beauty. He said the manners. The first thing to ask about. The Tawheed, the Aqeedah. Muhammad.
I think they say that first thing you ask about is her duty. Because if you ask about her deen, you're pleased with it. And then you see her, if you don't like her, then you.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You sit in the classes before. Allahumma barik. That's right. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah and others, they mentioned that one should first ask about the worldly affair. One should first ask about the worldly affair. If that all is good, then you proceed after that asking about the religion. After that, then you proceed asking about the religion. And the wisdom behind this is because if a person, he asks about their religion, and their religion is good, and then for some reason he did not like them because of the worldly affair, then he would reject her, or she will reject him based upon the dunya. Then he will reject her, or she will reject him based upon the dunya. And this is not good. And this is not a good way. This is not a good way. So first he should make sure everything's good. And then if that's good, then he will check the religion. And if the religion is good along with that, the physical aspect, then alhamdulillah, they can move forward with what needs to take place next from the contract, so on and so forth. So this is some of the advice of the people of knowledge with regards to that. So a person, he would not want to reject a woman that has a good religion and good deen and noble manners. Nor would a woman like to reject a man who has a good deen, a good religion and noble manners because of something from the dunya that they didn't like, or because of a person of preference that they didn't like. So now the deen is being disregarded because of the dunya in this manner. So this was a very deep understanding and detailed aspect of looking at this issue from some of the people of knowledge. From some of the people of knowledge. So the second means of happiness, the Shaykh mentions, وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسَرِ أَمْرٌ فَقَدَهُ الْكَثِيرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِهِمُ الْيَوْمِ. Among the means of family happiness is something many people have lost in their homes today. Something many people have lost in their homes today. أَلَا وَهُوَ أَنْ يُقَامَ فِي الْبُيُوتِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. And that is that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established in the home. Is established in the home. لِلْأَسَفِ فِي هَذَا الْوَقْتِ فَقَدَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِنَا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ فِي الْبُيُوتِ فَلَا يَكَادُ يُقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنُ فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُذْكَرُ اللَّهُ فِي بَعْضِ الْبُيُوتِ وَغَلَبَتْ عَلَى الْبُيُوتِ أَذْكَارُ الشَّيَاطِينِ غِنَاءٌ فِي الْبُيُوتِ وَمُوسِيقَى مِمَّا سَبَّبَ كَثِيرًا من الشقاء في البيوت إن المحافظة على ذكر الله عز وجل أيها الإخوة تشرح الصدر وبها يطمئن القلب ألم يقل ربنا سبحانه وتعالى ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. So among the means of family happiness is something many people have lost in their homes today, that is the remembrance of Allah عز وجل, the ذكر of Allah سبحانه وتعالى being established within the home. Unfortunately, many of our households today are devoid of the remembrance of Allah. The Quran is rarely recited in their homes. In some houses, Allah is hardly mentioned at all. Instead, the remembrance of the devils have taken over with music and singing in the homes, which has brought misery and unrest into many of them. Indeed, maintaining the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dear brothers, brings relief to the chest and tranquility to the heart. Did not our Lord, glorified and exalted, say, and the verity and the remembrance of Allah to the hearts find rest, Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub, that indeed, verily, the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find rest, alasna muqineen, alasna mu'mineen, Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub, fa'idha dhukir Allahu fil bayti atma'annat al-buyut, dhikru Allahi atma'annat al-buyut, dhikru Allahi lahu ta'thirun ajib, dhikru Allahi lahu ta'thirun ajibun fi shirah al-sadr, وزوال الهم والغم. ولهذا يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل الذي يذكر ربه والذي لا يذكر ربه ماذا مثل الحي والميت. Shaykh says, are we not certain? Are we not believers? Verily, in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find rest. Do the hearts find peace and ease. So when Allah is remembered in the home, that home finds tranquility. The remembrance of Allah has an astonishing effect. It expands the chest, removes worry and grief. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the example of the one who remembers his Lord and the one who does not remember his Lord is like what? Is like that of the living and the dead. It's like that of the living and the dead. This is a beautiful reminder and a great example. Reminder that the home should be full of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah by remembering His authority and command, and by remembering His lordship subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by remembering that this creation belongs to Him and He has the power to do all things and nothing is hard or difficult for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is aware and He sees and hears and He knows all things. And Allah, He has the attributes of perfection. And He has no deficiency whatsoever. And He's alive and He never dies. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by remembering that He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing, and that there's nothing that resembles Him whatsoever. That He is the greatest and there's nothing greater than Him. And He is the highest and there's nothing higher than Him. And that He is supreme in His knowledge and ultimate in His wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a believer will remember likewise the meaning of Allah azza wa jalla, the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah. All of this is from the remembrance of Allah. All of this is from the remembrance of Allah, remembering His beautiful names, remembering the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that He's the most gracious, that He's the most merciful, that He is the most kind, and likewise that He has legislated a law that will reach His mercy, and there's a pathway to His grace and bounty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to His mercy and pleasure. And likewise, there are pathways that lead to His anger and wrath, and He's the most severe in punishment for those who disrespect His commandments and do not honor and uphold the rights that He has legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remembering Allah and then remembering the path that leads to Allah and remembering the commandments and prohibitions and remembering the deen of Allah azza wa jalla is from the greatest remembrance of Allah, and then implementing that remembrance and acting upon it in a manner proper. In the manner proper. This is all from the remembrance of Allah. In this manner, person, he finds happiness and he brings happiness to his home. Rather, he brings happiness to whomever he comes in contact with. He brings happiness to whomever he comes in contact with because he is a person of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he benefits from that, and he finds tranquility and peace in his heart and goodness in his life. And goodness in his life. The example here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that the parable of the one who remembers Allah and the one who does not remember Allah is like that of the living and the dead. It's like that of the living and the dead. So the one who remembers Allah, he comes to life. And the one who is negligent with regards to the remembrance of Allah, he will fall heedless and negligent. It will be as if he is dead. Any meaning his heart is dead and his life is not the true life, the life of goodness and the life of happiness and the life of joy. Rather, it's a life that's an animal life and a worldly life. And he's lost in his desires and his whims. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the difference between the two. By remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla in the manner prescribed, the person who will come to life. Again, remembering the greatness of Allah and remembering the right of Allah and remembering the worship of Allah and the deen of Allah, the commandments and prohibitions, implementing that, hoping for the mercy and the pleasure of Allah, fearing the punishment and the wrath of Allah. This is the beneficial dhikr, the beneficial dhikr that will carry a person to implement the religion in his life daily, to implement the religion in his life daily by upholding the commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibition and striving and hastening to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he comes to life. It comes to life in this manner. Allah, He mentioned in His book, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever they call you to that which gives you life. So life lies in responding to the call of Allah and His Messenger, the true life. The true life. In this manner, a person, he will find happiness. In this manner, a person, he will find joy. Just like previous point, the Shaykh, he mentioned in the verse in Surah Al-Nahl, whenever Allah, He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن, whoever works righteous deeds, whether he's a male or female, while being a believer, فلنحيينه حياة طيبة, then indeed will cause him to live a good life in this life, a good life in the grave, and a good life on the day of resurrection, and a good life on the day of resurrection. So a person, he'll be alive and he'll have a good life. He'll be alive and he'll have a good life. But if he's negligent or heedless with regards to the remembrance of Allah, it's like he's dead. But someone who was heedless or forgetful, or someone who was negligent, and then he's starting to wake up and realize Allah is guiding his heart, is showing him his deficiencies and shortcomings, then he should not despair, because the heart can come back to life. And the remembrance of Allah is like this. And Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned a beautiful example of the likes of the Safir, like a fish in the water. And when you take it out of the water, it will die, but it dies slowly. It dies slowly. It dies slowly. It can live outside of the water for some time. And even if it's almost dead, but you put it back in the water, momentarily it will come back to life and take off. It will come back to life and take off. So likewise, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, maybe a person is forgetful, maybe a person he's heedless, maybe a person he's negligent, maybe a person he fell into great sin. But then if he repented, remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla and his greatness, and he was sincere with regards to that, and he worked in that path, after repenting to Allah Azza wa Jalla, striving to rectify his affair, then he can come to life. He can come back to life. And it's by remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla, and remembering the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and remembering the commandments and prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and acting upon that remembrance. For the Shaykh, he says, الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ مَيِّتٌ وَلَوْ سَعْرَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ مَيِّتٌ لَا حَيَاةِ فِي حَيَاتِهِ وَلَا رُوحَ فِي بَيْتِهِ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَخَيْرُ الذِّكْرِ عَظِيمٌ فَخَيْرُ الذِّكْرِ عَظِيمٌ وَفَضْلُ اللَّهِ بِسَبَبِهِ عَمِيمٌ هُوَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَسْبَابِ جَلْبِ السُّرُورِ لِمَاذَا يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ. It says, the one who remembers Allah is truly alive, and the one who does not is dead. Even if he walks among the people, he is considered dead. There's no life in this life. There's no life in his life. There's no life in his life. He's not living the life that he was created for. He's living the life in opposition to the purpose of his very existence. There's no life in his life, nor spirit in his home, because he does not remember Allah, the mighty and majestic. So the virtue of dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, is tremendous, and Allah's bounty through it is immense. It is among the most significant causes of bringing happiness and joy. Why is that, O slaves of Allah? لِأَنَّكَ إِن ذَكَرْتَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كَانَ اللَّهُ حَافِظًا لَكَ لِأَنَّكَ إِن ذَكَرْتَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كَانَ اللَّهُ حَافِظًا لَكَ وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُكَ أَلَا تَكُونَ مُرْتَاحَ الْقَلْبِ إِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ الْحَفِيظُ الْعَلِيمُ حَافِظُكَ أَلَا يَرْتَاحُ قَلْبُكَ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عنه أن شيطان قال له إذا أويت إلى فراشك فاقرأ آية الكرسي حتى تختم الآية فإنك لم يزل عليك من الله حافظ ولا يقربك الشيطان حتى تصبح. فأخبر أبو هريرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك فقال له صدقك وهو كذوب. Because whenever you remember Allah, He protects you. Whenever you remember Allah, He protects you. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. If you remember Allah, Allah will protect you. If you remember Allah and show thanks to Him, Allah will guide you and He will aid you. He will help you and direct you. Because whenever you remember Allah, He protects you. And if you know that Allah is guarding you, will your heart not feel at ease? If you know and you have certainty and you believe what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has reported about Allah guarding the slave upon remembering Him, if you believe that and you know that with certainty, will you not just find ease? Will you not find comfort? If you look at the adhkar that have come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, specifically with regards to the karb, specifically with regards to hard times and distress, you will find it's all about tawheed. It's all about the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, the distress and the hardship and the bad feelings go away. And the agony and anxiety, it all is removed after the remembrance of Allah. Whenever a person he remembers Allah in the manner prescribed, based upon a sound aqidah and the true, sincere faith, Islamic creed and belief that was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his companions, and that was conveyed to us, believing in his beautiful names and the manner prescribed, his lofty attributes, without denying them or resembling them to anything in the creation. Without denying them whatsoever, nor resembling them to anything in the creation. A person who put great faith and trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his heart he will find ease. If you know that Allah, the all-knowing, the guardian, is preserving you, protecting you, would your heart not be comforted? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrated that a devil said to him, would you go to your bed, recite Ayatul Kursi until you finish the verse? Then there will remain upon you a guardian from Allah. No devil will approach you until the morning. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu then informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about what happened. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, he told you the truth, though he is a liar. He told you the truth, although he is a liar. He told you the truth, although he is a liar. Some people, they mentioned that this is a proof for taking knowledge from the devil, or from the misguided and the deviant. And this is not a proof for that. How is that? Now, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu did not believe him nor accept what he mentioned until he reported that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet affirmed that what he said is true. So therefore Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is accepting the information from the Prophet and not the devil. From the Prophet and not the devil. It is the Prophet who said that what he said was the truth, and clarified along with that he's a liar. Although at this time he told the truth. So there's no evidence in what they claim with regards to this affair. The point is now that by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, he regards you and protects you. By remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, he regards you and he'll protect you. And again, from the benefits and the fruits of that remembrance is that you remember the commandments and prohibitions. When you remember Allah properly in the manner prescribed, you remember the path that leads to Him. You remember His commandments, and you remember His prohibitions, and you will uphold them. In this manner, Allah He will protect you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, احفظ الله يحفظك, that if you protect Allah, Allah will protect you. If you protect Allah, meaning protect the limits of Allah, protect the rights of Allah, protect the commandments and prohibitions of Allah azza wa jalla, and then Allah He will protect you. And the contrary is understood, meaning if a person is negligent with regards to observing those limits, then he will lose the protection of Allah accordingly. اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاءَكَ. Protect Allah. Protect Allah, meaning guard and uphold the limits and the sacred rights of Islam by implementing the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions in public and in private on a daily basis. If you do this, then Allah, He will protect you. And if you continue upon that way, Allah, He will direct you and guide you in every situation and circumstance. He will protect you from sin. And if you are ever tried or slip into sin, then He will also guide you and direct you to repent and not persist upon that way. So by remembering Allah and remembering Him in a manner that's beneficial, bringing about fear and reverence of Allah and striving to seek the pleasure of Allah, By establishing his deen, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this manner, a person, he will find great protection. He will find great insight. He will find great light and also taste the sweetness of faith in his heart. So he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ وَكَيْفَ لَا يَرْتَاهُ قَلْبُ الْمُسْلِمِ بِحِفْظِ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ يَقْرَأُ خَوَاتِيمَ سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ بالآيتين من آخر سورة البقرة في ليلة كفتاه يعني كفتاه عبادة فهي عبادة عظيمة في الليل وكفتاه من كل شر بفضل الله فيحفظه الله عز وجل بذلك. And how could the heart of a Muslim not be at peace knowing Allah is protecting him whenever he recites the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever recites the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah at nighttime, then they will suffice him. The Shaykh, he says, they will suffice him means they are sufficient as an act of worship for the night. And a great action of worship, reciting these verses, especially if you understand what they mean. And you are applying clarity with regards to the creed that is mentioned in those verses specifically. And in the pillars of faith are found in those verses. And this is reviving that faith and solidifying it on a daily basis every night by reciting those verses and pondering over what they mean and reflecting upon that and strengthening the tawheed and the iman in the heart of a believer. So in reciting them, this is sufficient as an action of worship for the night and also sufficient to protect him from every harm by Allah's grace. So Allah protects him through them. Yeah, Allah protects the person through the recitation of these noble verses. كيف لا يطمئن قلب المسلم ويرتاح وهو يقول في الصباح والمساء ثلاث مرات من قال بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم ثلاث مرات لم تصبه فجأة بلاء حتى يصبح. انتبهوا يا إخوة. لم تصبه فجأة بلاء حتى يصبح. فجأة بلاء حتى يصبح. ومن قالها حين يصبح ثلاث مرات لم تصبه فجأة بلاءً حتى يمسيه. And how could the heart of a believer not be comforted and at peace when he says every morning and evening, in the name of Allah, with whose name nothing is harmed on the earth nor in the heavens, and he is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Whoever says it three times, nothing will suddenly harm him until the morning. Pay attention, O brothers. Nothing will suddenly harm him until the morning. And whoever says it in the morning three times will not be struck by sudden affliction until the evening. Until the evening. So this is from the adhkar of the mornings and the evenings. From the adhkar of the mornings and the evenings. And a believer, he will say this dhikr three times every morning and three times every evening. And from the adhkar that he will mention, along with others as well. Along with others as well. And this is a means to have the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A means to have the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making the adhkar in the morning, and by making the adhkar in the evening, and by making the adhkar after the five daily prayers. After the five daily prayers, the one who establishes his property and he memorizes them and he recites them and he recites them consistently and he learns the meaning of them likewise and he believes in what they indicate from the creed of at-tawheed with great trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reverence and honor for Allah azza wa jal. And if the adhkar is all about glorifying Allah and praising Him, putting one's faith and trust and reliance upon Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking His protection from every harm and from every evil. All of the adhkar, they're about these affairs, and they are so beneficial for those who understand them and recite them with a heart that is alive. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the example of these adhkar is like that of a very strong sword. It's like that of a very strong sword. But in order to truly benefit from the sword, a person has to be strong enough to pick it up and also have knowledge how to wield it, right? So if a person, he has a very strong sword, but his arm is weak, he's not able to carry it, or he's not skillful with regards to using it, then it will bring little benefit to him. Then it will bring little benefit to him. Although itself, it is very strong and powerful, but if the person, he's not himself strong enough to hold it or to wield it, it doesn't have skill in dealing with it or handling it, then it's not going to benefit him. So likewise, the adhkar, they're very strong, powerful, they're very beneficial. But if a person does not use them properly, he does not apply them properly by learning what they mean and believing in the creed that they indicate and having trust and reliance upon Allah whenever he recites them, pondering and reflecting over them until they enter his heart and the meanings enter his heart and he benefits in this manner, if this does not occur, then they will not have the effect that one is truly looking for. So in order to have that effect, the person, he needs to have knowledge. He needs to have knowledge of what he's reciting, knowledge of what he's reading. So no doubt we have to learn them, we have to memorize them, we have to recite them. But along with that, we have to understand them. And many times the deep understanding of the likes of these texts from the Quran and from the Sunnah is by studying the creed properly and in detail. Studying the creed of At-Tawheed. The Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His right to be worshipped alone. And that which will nullify that or invalidate that or bring weakness to that. And likewise, the creed with regards to the angels and with regards to the books and the prophets and messengers, and likewise the creed with regards to the last day and the Jannah and the Naam, the promise of Allah and His threat, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the decree and the command of Allah and His supreme authority and ultimate wisdom. And the one who learns about these affairs in detail, then he recites the book of Allah and ponders and reflects, he will benefit. And likewise, the one who learns the creed in detail, and then he recites these adhkar in the morning and the evening, they will benefit him. And they will make that creed firm and grounded in his heart by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, Hafidhullah, man qalaha idha asbaha ammanahu Allahu min fajati al-bala hatta yumsiya, wa man qalaha hina yumsi ammanahu min fajati al-bala hatta yusbiha, fa kayfa la yartahu al-qalbu bi hadha al-amr, kayfa la yatma'innu qalbu al-muslimi wa yartahu wa yas'ad wa huwa yaqra'u قل هو الله أحد والمعوذات كل صباح ومساء ثلاث مرات والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قل هو الله أحد والمعوذتين حين تمسي وحين تصبح ثلاث مرات تكفيك من كل شيء. Whoever says this in the morning is that car that he's discussing. Allah secures him from sudden calamity until evening. And whoever says them in the evening, Allah will secure him from sudden calamity until the morning. So how can the heart not rest in this assurance? And how can one not find peace and ease in this promise from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It goes back to the first affair, a deficiency in iman. A deficiency in iman and righteous actions. If a person, he is not careful and he's negligent with regard to the commandments, violates some of the prohibitions, this will bring weakness to his faith. This will bring weakness to his faith and it will cover his heart. And he will not be able to see the truth nor benefit from the recitation in the manner prescribed. In the manner prescribed, any darkness will come into his life according to the sins that he commits, according to the amount of sins and the degree of those sins, and the level of those sins and the likes like this. It has effects on his understanding. It has effect on his understanding, on his comprehension, on his ability to see the truth in a clear and good manner, and to benefit from that, and to benefit from that. So whoever says it in the morning, Allah will secure him from sudden calamity until evening. Whoever says it in the evening, Allah will secure him from sudden calamity until the morning. So how can the heart not rest in this assurance? How could the heart of a believer not be tranquil and at ease, filled with joy whenever he recites, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Along with al-mu'awwidhat, the two protectors, Surah al-Falaq and Surah al-Nas. Every morning and evening three times. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ the al-mu'awwidhatayn when you wake up and when you sleep three times, and they will suffice you from everything. They will suffice you from everything. This is also from the adhkar of the morning and the evening. This is also from the adhkar of the morning and the evening. Rather, everything mentioned so far is from the adhkar of the morning and the evening. From the adhkar of the morning and the evening. Every morning, after the Fajr prayer, before the sunrise, one who recite Ayatul Kursi. Likewise, one who recite the Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad and Al-Falaq and Al-Nas three times. Three times, and he'll recite this dhikr likewise. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis samai wa huwa as-sami'u al-alim. He recites that three times in the morning. Three times in the morning, after he prays Fajr and before the rising of the sun. And likewise, these same adhkar here, they'll be recited in the evening, after Asr, before the sunset. He recites Ayatul Kursi, and recite the three last chapters. And he recites this dhikr here as well, amongst other adhkar. And reciting Ayatul Kursi, and also these last three chapters one time, is as well legislated after every obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. So from here, how many times is it legislated to recite Ayatul Kursi in one day? Huh? One time in the adhkar in the morning, and then once in the adhkar in the evening, that's two times, right? And then once after the five daily prayers, that's seven, and one time before going to sleep. That's eight times, right? That's eight times, huh? So it's legislated to recite it eight times a day. Eight times a day, Ayatul Kursi. And likewise, the last three chapters, as we've seen, you recite them three times in the morning and three times in the evening, that's six. And then once after every obligatory prayer, that is 11. That is 11. And also, three more times before sleeping, blowing in your hands, and wiping them on your face after the recitation, right? So how many is that? 14. 14 times legislated to recite these verses from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one day. The fact that the likes of these particular texts are repeated daily, this many times, the indication of the importance of understanding the meanings of these texts specifically. You will find that many times these texts here that are repeated on a daily basis in this manner, they summarize the creed. They summarize the creed and they summarize the sound belief and the proper understanding of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and strengthening the faith in that manner, and solidifying the iman, and also strengthening one's reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this manner, a person, he finds happiness. And the home likewise will find happiness. Rather, the home also, not only should one remember Allah in this manner like this, but likewise, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that we should save some of our prayer for the house, and that the best prayer, besides the obligatory prayer, is the prayer in the home, is the prayer in the home. So a person, he will strive to pray in the house. This is a beneficial way for a believer himself, and likewise for his family, so that the children, they grow up and they see the mother and father, they're praying in the home. So they understand that establishing the religion is not only in the masajid, but rather it's in the masajid and in the house. It's in the masajid and it's also in the homes. So a person, a man specifically, he'll pray whatever he can, as much as possible in the congregation, in the masajid. But the non-obligatory prayers, he'll try to pray them at home if possible. He'll try to pray them at home if possible. He's going to go back home right after Isha, for example, it's better for him to go home and pray the sunnah in his house. This is a good way. And this is a better way for him if he's able to do that and not be negligent. If he's able to do that and not be negligent. His home is coming to life with prayer and with worship and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, his family and children, they are aware of this affair, that the prayer is being established in the home, and they see that and they're cultivated upon that, and this is a great means of education for the children specifically, and so many great benefits. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned not to make your houses like the graveyards, meaning that you should pray in your homes. Pray in your homes. Again, the non-obligatory prayer for the men, the non-obligatory prayer, because the graveyards is not allowed to pray there. So the one who doesn't pray in his house, it's like his house is a graveyard. It's a graveyard. So no doubt praying the night prayer or praying the sunnah, the sunnah al-rawatib in the home as much as one is able. This is all from the beneficial way. This is all from the beneficial way of bringing goodness and light into the house. Goodness and light into the house, into the family. So the Shaykh, he says, كَيْفَ لَا يَسْتَوْطِنُ السُّرُورُ قَلْبَكَ وَيَذْهَبُ الْهَمُّ وَيَذْهَبُ الْهَمُّ وَالْحُزْنُ وَالْخَلَقُ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ وَأَنْتَ تَقُولُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ الله ربي لا شريك له. هل هذه الجملة صعبة؟ هل هذه الجملة صعبة الحفظ؟ الله ربي لا شريك له. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أصابه هم أو غم أو سقم أو شدة فقال الله ربي لا شريك له كشف ذلك عنه. How could joy not take residence in your heart? And how could joy not reside in your heart? How could worry, sorrow, and anxiety not leave your chest whenever you say, Allah is my Lord, he has no partner. Allah is my Lord, he has no partner. Is this phrase difficult to memorize? Allahu Rabbi la sharika lah. Is this phrase hard to memorize? Who memorized it? Allahu Rabbi la sharika lahu. Allahu Rabbi la sharika lahu. Allah is my Lord, he has no partners. Allah is my Lord, he has no partners. Everybody memorized it? Everybody memorized it? He mentioned the narration that he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever is afflicted with worry, grief, illness, or hardship, and he says, Allah is my Lord, he has no partner. Allah is my Lord, he says, Allah is my Lord, he has no partner. Allahu Rabbi, la sharika lah. La sharika lah. It will be removed from him. Whatever hardship, whatever problem, whatever worry, whatever stress is in his heart, if he says that sincerely and truthfully, based upon the proper creed and belief, with his reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal, believing in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner, then those problems, they will go away. Those problems, they will go away. فَمَا أَعْظَمَهُ مِنْ سَبَبٍ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ السَّعَادَةِ فَمَا أَعْظَمَهُ من سبب من أسباب السعادة لكننا غفلنا عنه البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة تفر منه الشياطين ولكن من الذي يقرأ سورة البقرة في بيته اليوم أفذاذ من الناس قلة ولذلك استوطنت الشياطين كثير من البيوت الإنسان إذا دخل بيته فقال بسم الله فر الشيطان من البيت وقال لا مبيت لكم ولا عشاء وكثير من الناس يدخل بيته لا يذكر الله بل بلغنا أن بعض الناس يدخل بيته وهو يغني ويصفق ومثل هذا يدخل معه الشيطان بل يسبقه الشيطان إلى البيت وكيف تكون في بيته سعادة. What a tremendous cause of happiness this is. Yet we have become heedless of it. A house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited, the devils flee from it. But who today recites Surah Al-Baqarah regularly in their homes? But who today recites Surah Al-Baqarah regularly in their homes? Very few. Because of this, the devils have settled in many houses. When a person enters his house and says Bismillah, the devil flees from his house and says, there is no lodging here for you nor any dinner. Yet many people enter their homes without mentioning Allah. Many people there understand these affairs. Maybe they have taken seminars and the likes, studying the issues of eating and drinking and entering the home. And they are aware of these narrations, yet they fail to implement them in their life. If they fail to implement them in their life, and this is worse than the one who does not know and is ignorant. And if they know these narrations, yet they run through their house and open their door and come in heedlessly and forgetfully and do not mention the name of Allah. And then they wonder why they have problems or they have troubles, or they wonder why it's difficult for them to establish some of the obligatory rights and the likes like this, because the devils are entering along with them. Because the devils are entering along with them. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. So a person, he has to strive to learn and then implement what they learn. And then implement what they learn. So a person, he should never enter his home except for he says Bismillah. Whenever he enters, or never exit his home likewise, except by making those adhkar, and never eating or drinking likewise, except making the adhkar. Whether upon waking, upon sleeping, and every aspect of his life, he should learn the adhkar for those circumstances and situations and uphold them and adhere to them and mention them daily. Whenever he drives his car, whenever he enters the masjid, whenever he leaves the masjid, whatever his circumstance may be, throughout the day he will mention the adhkar that have come in those places. That have come in those places, and he will not be heathens with regards to that. He will be from those who mention Allah often, and Allah will protect him. And Allah, he will protect him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person enters his house and says Bismillah, the devil flees from the house and says, there's no lodging here for you nor any dinner. Yet many people enter their homes without mentioning Allah. And it has reached us that some people enter their homes singing and clapping. Such a person invites the devil in. Rather, the devil even precedes him to his house. How then can there be happiness in that home? How then can there be happiness in that home? In that home. Yani with singing and music and the likes and other foul, lowly images or sounds, so on and so forth. These things, they have to be kept out of the house. Everything that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from music and from instruments, from other images and the likes, or videos, so on and so forth, or pictures or statues, or toys, some of the toys there are foul and impermissible, not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. We purchase them believing they're going to make our children happy in the life cycles. And because of a lack of determination, or because of ignorance in the life cycles, or lack of care and concern for the religion and the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, many they violate those affairs and they search for happiness, yet they find misery. Yet they find misery because of ignorance. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the well-known narration, "Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fi al-din." Whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him an understanding in the religion, and he will have an understanding of these affairs, that which is pleasing to Allah and that which is not pleasing to Allah. And we know that the true understanding in the religion is a type of knowledge that is accompanied by action, a type of knowledge that is accompanied by action. So a person who has understanding and the religion, an understanding that brings about the fruit of good deeds and noble conduct and manners, this is the one whom Allah wants good for. As for a person who knows but he doesn't implement, or he's ignorant, he doesn't even know that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla in the first place, or that which is displeasing, then how could he ever have any good? And the one who has no good, he can never be truly happy. He can never be truly, truly happy. This is the second affair, the dhikr. The dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. The dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, he mentions the third means, from the means of family happiness. وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسَرِ أَنْ يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ قَيِّمًا عَلَى زَوْجَتِهِ رَاعِيًا لِأُسْرَتِهِ. Among the means of family happiness is that a man, he should be a guardian and caretaker over his wife, caretaker for his household, a guardian over his wife and a caretaker of his household, and a caretaker of his household. How long do we have? Less than a minute. Less than a minute. This point here is very important. This point here is very important, and the enemies of Al-Islam, they have worked hard to disrupt this affair and to corrupt this fitrah and understanding that the man is not like the woman and the male is not like the female. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى Allah, He did not create them equally. Therefore, they're not equal. Although they have rights, each one they have rights, and there's justice that should be between them, the man is not equal to the woman, nor is the woman equal to the man. And whenever the man starts to act like a woman, or the woman starts to act like a man, in the household you find nothing but chaos. You find nothing but chaos and corruption. And you find so many problems and difficulties that come about because these affairs happen. The understanding is mixed up. And the woman, she wants to play the role of the man. And the man, he's a coward and falls and he gets played in that manner. And the likes like this. But Allah, He mentioned that الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ The men, they're guardians and caretakers of women. And it's not the opposite. And it's not the opposite. So this is from the means of having happiness. We don't have time this evening now to cover this point here. So we save it, inshallah, for in the morning after Salat al-Fajr. So if we have any comments, corrections, or any questions related to the class, we can take them now while we're waiting for the Iqamah. What was the dhikr? Allahu Rabbi. La sharika lahu, mashallah. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. What does that mean? What does that mean? Allahu Rabbi. La sharika lahu. What does that mean? Allah is my Lord. What does that mean? You didn't have any questions, so I'm going to have questions for you. What does that mean? What does that mean? Allah is my Lord. There's no partner. He has no partners. Allah is my Lord. What does that mean? Allah is my Lord. Allah is your Lord. What does that mean? Alhamdulillah. Ahsant. Meaning that Allah, He's the one who created me and brought me into existence. Allah, He's the one who provides for me and sustains me and gives me all the good that I have. He's the one who protects me. He's the one who has raised me and nourishing me with all of His bounties and blessings. So therefore, He's my Lord, meaning? Huh? He's the one that I worship and devote myself to. La sharika lah. You understand? He's my Lord. Yani, He is the one who created me, and He is the one who provides me and sustains me. And He is the one who protects me and grants me all the favors and good that I have, and He is the one whom I worship. And I do not worship anyone besides Him. La sharika lah. He has no partners. He has no partners in creation. He has no partners in authority and command. He has no partners in His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And likewise, He has no partners in the right to be worshipped. He has no partners in the right to be worshipped. So you remember that Allah is your Lord. And that helps you to remember who you are. Who are you? Huh? Who are you? If Allah is your Lord, He's your creator, He's your provider, He's your sustainer, He's the one who you worship and surrender and submit to, then you are His slave. You are His slave, meaning that Allah, He created you. So you are a creation created by Allah. Allah, He is the one who gave you shape and form. Is Allah who gave you shape and form in the womb of your mother. He's the one who brought you into existence. So He is the creator and your creation. He is the provider and you are sustained and provided for. And He is your Lord and you worship Him and you are His slave. You are His slave. And you'll return to Him and He'll ask you about what you used to do. About what you used to do. So this is Tawheed. Allahu Rabbi la sharika lah. Allahu Rabbi la sharika lah. So whenever a person, he finds distress or he finds worry or concern or things are not good, he's grieving, or he doesn't feel happy for some reason, whatever that may be, he'll remember these affairs. Allahu Rabbi la sharika lah. That Allah, he is my Lord, and he has no partners. Meaning the command is the command of Allah, and nothing happens except with the permission of Allah, and that we are the slaves of Allah. We must surrender and submit to him humbly and accept what he has decreed in this universe and in this life, and also accept what he has legislated and implement that in the best manner on a daily basis. In this manner, a person, he will find happiness, and that grief, it will go away. In this manner, a person, he will find happiness, and that grief will go away by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. What was the first means of happiness? Al-Iman wa? Wal-Amalu al-Salih. Al-Iman wal-Amalu al-Salih. Al-Iman wal-Amalu al-Salih. Having sincere and true faith, coupled with righteous and good deeds. Coupled with righteous and good deeds. And the second? The mention, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikrullahi Azza wa Jal. What does it mean, dhikrullah? Dhikrullah. Naam? Remembering Allah. What does that mean? How does that occur? How do you remember Allah? With the tongue and with the heart. You remember Allah with your tongue and you remember Allah with your heart. So whenever the tongue mentions Allah and the heart understands and coincides with that, is alive with that, then the remembrance is good. But if a person, if he remembers Allah, mentions these adhkar, but his heart is not alive, then there will not be the same benefit. There will not be the same benefit. But a person, he must make the remembrance of Allah with his tongue and also with his heart. And also with his heart. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.